to have agreements with, because then it wouldn't be allowed. So we entered the computer, downloaded the list of customers, and then they entered houses, a lot of houses, to search for this malware. Or it's not even malware. It's a kit where you can make malware with, called Blackshades. To be honest, I nearly bought that software. It was a lack of time that I decided not to. But I want to learn how these things work. I haven't got any plans whatsoever to harm anybody. But the fact that you own it is not a crime. So it's the same story as...
Yet it's reason enough to barge into to your house.
Well, that's still the question. That's in my...
Not whether it's legal or not, but it's apparently a reason to walk into your house and grab your stuff.
Yes, and this resembles for me a government that doesn't know what they're doing. They're in total panic. And they tried to at all costs to finish some cases. But let's go back to the Blackshade software. It's not illegal. It's like a crowbar. I can own a crowbar, and that's totally okay. Only in certain situations you're not allowed to have one. Yet we don't find it normal that they will go to a department store and say, like, okay, now we want to have a customer list of everybody who ever bought a crowbar and kick the doors in. And this is what we do in the digital world. I think it's totally bizarre.
We're also talking about physical doors here, right?
Yes, we're talking about physical doors, but we're now talking about hacking. Mm-hmm. And people just, you know, owning a piece of software that in itself is not illegal. And I think it's very worrisome when we start to send out a signal to young people, you know, do not be interested in anything. Don't start to learn technology, because if you do, and you're smarter than us, we'll kick your door in and we'll make your family feel very, very bad. That's not okay.
I agree. This almost sounds like the reason why America became its own states.
Yeah, you could say that probably, I don't know. But for the Netherlands, it's not a country that I want to see ourselves form. Next year, in 2015, the Netherlands want to show how good they are on cybercrime. I would have loved that they said, like, and we did this 10 very cool cases, and we've got now, you know, real crime really solved. Not like the small boys who kick in a door or shout boo with Adidas against their own school. Or these little things that are not really that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the... And then there is another thing with the hacking that worries me. If I hack as a government a foreign nation's computer, suppose it is Iran, what gives us the right to enter a computer in Iran? And how will they respond? Will this end up in a diplomacy war? Will this be a riot of unmeasured proportions? I can't oversee the consequences, but you could trigger a big international conflict. So I think it's not only a stupid way of doing business, it's also a dangerous way. And the third one is, how do you prevent if the police leaves malware on computers? And we've recently seen a case with Finn Fischer where the Dutch police apparently has a license to install malware. How much is the evidence worth? If the Dutch police hacks a computer, then does nothing with that computer for a month, it's all this time it's vulnerable. It's vulnerable to all sorts of attacks. What good does the evidence on that computer bring? And how can you prove that it is really that person that put it on there? I think you can expect a lot of people to be convicted that are actually innocent.
Okay. It was niet te verstaan.
Ja, ik was net klaar, dus dat is goed.
Ja, ik ben alleen nu even de trein kwijt. Waar waren we? Ik ben niet in mijn element vandaag.
Ik merk het niet. Het laatste wat ik zei was dat het gevaarlijk was om te doen. En dat de politie ook bewijs daar kan planten of kwaadwillende misbruik van zijn.
Ja, inderdaad. Het is
Can I add one thing? I've seen hacking cases where somebody hacked into a computer with no other aim of using the hard disk as a sort of storage.
Yes, this is one of the more common ways to use these networks.
We hebben een klein incident op het park. Okay, sorry. I've seen hacking cases in the Netherlands and also abroad where a system was hacked by somebody with no other reason to store his own data. The person who is the victim didn't know this. Now, suppose that case meets a case of an investigation and you have to prove that it wasn't your data. Generally, the type of data that is stored on somebody else's computer is generally not the legal type of data.
No, I agree. But I mean, the whole hacking story, if you look to the analog, it basically comes down to them breaking down the door, leaving the lock off for about a month, and then go looking around for evidence.
That's basically what the story is, yeah.
And that's legal. Nowadays,
Is this still in parliament? No, this is a very hard question you pose. No, it's not legal at this point. It might be legal if the Dutch change the law, but it might still be a violation of the European Declaration of Human Rights or Fundamental Rights. That's all not yet known. So it's kind of vague how legal it will turn out.
Okay. Do you have any advice to any Dutch people who are listening who want to do something about this?
No, I think it shouldn't only be the Dutch. I think as an international community, we should say that we do not like the trend that fundamental rights are subject of discussion all the time. You know, that is what you want to stop. It's not okay. So I think that's the point we want to make.
And
show politicians the way that is okay. The problem in the Netherlands is that Dutch politicians are still very clueless. We've got one or two people that are very good at it. But our parliament consists of 150 people. And the Senate consists of 75 people. There are three people that understand information technology a little bit. The problem is Dutch Parliament is still looking at the IT project that failed and cost way too much money. And they're not thinking in an information society that needs direction, that needs basic protections. And especially a government is the only party that can give certain protections. And they are constantly failing at that. And this is why it's so important. You know, I don't want a fight with the government because I want a fight with the government. I want the government to do the right things. Because
you want to fight with the government.
That should be the logic case. Because now if a company does something illegal, you know, they just move to a different jurisdiction. And they violate our fundamental rights. For instance, the rights to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So. So. I guess that's the point. And you know, there are two things that I start to notice at this point. One is a lot of people start to see the issues. A lot of people start to know, and they should be a lot more vocal. The second thing I start to notice is that within governments, people are realizing this as well. And a lot of governments are simply afraid of the responsibility. They are afraid to be accountable for the things that they are not doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, a journalist is very threatening in that. And the sad part is, for instance, the Dutch team High Tech Crime has said that they are of the opinion that I hate them. You know, I've got no opinion about team High Tech Crime itself. I think policies should change. And a lot of policemen are doing a fine job. You know, I've got a lot of friends within the police force. You know, we eat, we drink, we do lots of fun things together. So they're real good friends. And it's not about that. It's about a policy that needs to change. And a lot of people are just doing their job properly.
Okay. Then not just for the Dutch people, but for anyone who is listening and who is feeling this change going in the wrong direction, what do you advise them to do?
Write about it. Talk about it. Start to write also to Dutch Parliament. You are doing this and you are giving a wrong example. If you want to be the leader in the fight against cybercrime, start to make the right choices. Start to use your scarce resources in a very efficient and cool way. And be also very careful when going after a hacker that, for good reasons, tries to prove a point or tries to show that something is not okay and crosses the line a little bit. Be a little bit more compassionate.
I mean, it's the same as somebody who is loitering versus somebody who's actually breaking into a house and stealing stuff. I mean, there's a difference between how they are being treated as well.
Yeah, but with the loitering, you can still say that there is a crime. But if you want to, I see a hacker that shows that their organization is poorly protected as a digital whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the hack that's relevant, it's the injustice. And there is only one way to prove it sometimes, is to show it. Even though it's not how we would like to see things. But we know that a company... Guys, Peter. We know... gosh, I lost my... Yeah, we know that... that at certain points people break the law, but we also know that that a lot of organizations do not do the least thing to protect our data, even though they're required to by law. If you can script together the data of 420,000 poorly protected websites, that proves a point. That's a very, and I do think we should go after those criminals because the aim was not to prove the point, but it also shows the consistent disregard of our fundamental right to a personal life. And that right is worthwhile to be protected.
I agree.
You forgot to bring your little list.
Yeah, that's true. The last time I had the list, and then I could write down, oh, whistleblower, and all this, and then I was to look down, and oh, now I'm going to ask you something about, but I don't have that list, so I have to do it from my head, and I already had 2 days of ETH zero, so I'm not the clearest anymore. Let's see. Are there any other things you would like to talk about?
Yes, there's one last thing. We see consistently certain governments crossing lines with respect to our rights. And one of the things that worries me is, for instance, in the United States, is that we've got huge lists with people on it that are possibly dangerous to the American society. We've got the NDAA law. The NDAA law says that it's possible to administratively detain somebody indefinitely.
Just indefinitely, as in forever.
Yeah, well, even, you know, detain people is something you take a right away that you should be very careful when doing that. But these type of systems, we need to talk about it. We need to have the discussion. And what you consistently see with governments, especially when the right to a personal life is involved, is that they shy away from the public discussion, or they give only half the story. That has to stop. We really have to demand in transparency, what on earth, governments, are you doing with our information? Why? And what are the ultimate consequences? Because if you tell somebody that they might end up innocently in a database and be detained for the rest of their life because of the big data analysis, for instance, I think the discussion would go a different direction. And if you don't believe that somebody might end up on a list for no reason at all, well, that's how we started our conversation, what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up on a list as a very dangerous person, and nobody now can tell me where this problem started and who decided that this was the case. And now they even have to acknowledge, yeah, there wasn't anything you were wanting to do. Yes. So I think we should have a public debate with all the information on the table, and we should demand that.
Mm-hmm. The Snowden revelations gave us the view that we're more or less living in the land of 1984. This year starts to sound more or less
1984 was a very amateur picture. This has gone a lot further.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was one government that was only looking after their own people. I do not live in the United States, and they have a very detailed picture of my life and what I do. And I cannot oversee the consequences. So Snowden has given us the proof that a lot of hackers always have suspected. And that is really the problem happening in society right now.
Mm-hmm. The story you told at the beginning, it also sounds a bit like a Minority Report. Do you have any hopes that when we meet back together at the CCC camp that we have a story which looks more like a more positive movie?
I don't know in general. For me personally, yes. Because the police starts to see that what I did really has gone too far. They also start to see that basically I'm not the enemy. Because during the conversations we have already, they've decided to adjust a bunch of the policies already, because they now start to see that, yeah, this is not really helpful. So
but
for me,
is this the Brenno protocol you are talking about, or are
the Brenno protocol is off
the
table?
The complete the actual protocols in general.
The general protocols will also prevent, hopefully, this type of mistakes of happening again. So that is something I gained during this whole situation. What I'm afraid of is that we've forgotten it in a year's time. And that it's not Brenno de Winter, but somebody totally unknown, unvocal, and ends up in jail for no reason. That's really my total nightmare. I'm not really afraid for myself, and I'm too visible. And they tried to go over the line a little. And we only told parts of the story. They tried to first incriminate me even more. But it generated so much media attention that they shied away from that. But if somebody, you know, is not really known, and people are not aware that this person is under threat, I don't know what happens. And that worries me a lot.
Okay. Is there perhaps something on a more happy note with which we can end off this episode?
Absolutely. There are a lot of things you can do that that help making yourself better protected. I would really go after better encryption and work on tools that protect our privacy in a lot of ways. That can be helping people maintaining their passwords. You could go to companies and say, like, well, username, password, I really don't think so. You know, that's so 1998. We've had that. You could also, you know, respond to public. A lot of governments put laws visible for the people just before they are voted upon, and then you can respond to it. You always have to do that. Always cast your opinion. Because if a lot of people let the governments know that this is really not what we want, the argument, the people are asking for it, that's gone. So there's a lot you can do. The only thing is, if it's positive or not, depends on yourself. If you're there to make the choice to sometimes stand up a little bit for your digital rights. We banned slavery from large parts of the world. We can also ban all sorts of digital slavery also from all parts of the world. It's really up to you if you want to make this positive or not.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I'm glad we had this conversation. By now it's half past five, and we should be working on the food, I think.
Yes.
So I think it's time for the ending theme, and then we'll leave you all to it. Have a good day.
Hoi. Welkom. Je luistert nu naar Onzin. Veel plezier. Mochten er nog verzoeknummers zijn, dan kan je dat melden via Smurfnet op IRC, Nifhack TV, dat is de naam van het kanaal. Ik ben Peter en ik draai nu de liedjes. Dus nogmaals, verzoeknummers kunnen naar NickFTV op Smurfnet. En ze kunnen voor de mensen die op ETH 0 zijn, ook gewoon naar de radiotent. Veel luisterplezier. Eén moment geduld, alstublieft.